Our gospel today is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, starting with verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.' The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said, who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We have found the Messiah,' that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,'" which, when translated, is Peter. Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to enter in to hear your scripture read and to hear it preached. Lord, let these words that I speak indeed be yours and not my own. And may they teach and edify, and may they accomplish the purpose for which you intend them. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Well, this is week 2 of our series on miracle messages, and one often overlooked miracle that comes across in today's Old Testament reading is God's choosing of Israel, which was one of the smallest tribes on the planet. This is from Isaiah 49. This is our first reading. This is verse 3 and then verse 7, parts of them. God said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." And then also, "The Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." If you remember, you guys know this story well. Jacob sleeps on this side of the Jabbok, and that night an angel comes and wrestles with him. And he wrestles all night, and the dawn is breaking. And the angel says, "Let me go. It's dawn." And Jacob says, "I will not unless you bless me." And so the angel blesses him with a new name, Israel. And then he releases Jacob. And so that's where the tribe of people, Israel, take their name, is from this story and from this wrestling. And so Israel literally means, "May God contend." And I haven't done a ton of work on this word contend, but one way to translate that would be to wrestle, to contend something, right? And then another way to translate this is, "May God rule." And so Jesus came to establish the rule of God, or the reign of God. That was one of his That was his mission, to establish that reign. And his way of doing it was through the people of Israel. It said, as we just read there in Isaiah 49, that Israel is God's servant, and that servant will help him establish the reign of God. And there's two ways that Jesus goes about doing this. One is he gathers Israel, and the other one is that through him, cast a light onto Israel in such a way that Israel becomes a light to the nations. So these are the two things that Jesus does through Israel to bring about the reign of God. Let's go back to our Old Testament reading today. This is verse 5. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. So we see the gathering there. And then in verse 6, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, just to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. So in other words, it's too small a thing just to be a part of the gathering. I will also make you a light for the nations. And a way to translate that nations is Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. One of the first steps in this gathering, one of the first persons that plays a part in this gathering, is actually John the Baptist, who's a part of our reading today as our gospel. And in verses 29 and 36, John says, look, he's talking to his disciples, look, there's the Lamb of God. In other words, there's the chosen one. There's the Messiah. John is pointing towards Jesus. And listen to this, though, in 31. This one's easy to skip over and miss. I myself did not know him. This is John talking. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he, Jesus, might be revealed to Israel. And so we see that John is the one that kind of gets things going here in this gathering process, because they have to come out to visit John, right? That he doesn't come to them. They have to go out into the desert or the wilderness, same word in the Hebrew, and be baptized by him. And so the Exodus is recalled as these Jews make this journey out to be baptized and to be gathered in a way they haven't for a long time. And so then that's phase one of the gathering. Is baptism, the calling of them out there. And then phase two of the gathering is Jesus choosing the 12. And each of the 12 disciples are, of course, Jewish, because they represent, and some scholars even think they may have each come from one of these, the 12 tribes of Israel. So in a literal sense, these choosing of the 12 by Jesus is a gathering of all the tribes of Israel. And so Jesus does that. And then there's a further message that Jesus wants to send in this gathering of the 12, in the choosing of the 12. And that is that they're all going to be one again. And that's something that hasn't happened in Israel for a very long time, maybe since Abraham's family, because there's always been divisions. There was two kingdoms. After that, one of the kingdoms was completely lost in the exile and the foreign armies that took over Israel. Some tribes were completely lost. When Jesus goes to do this, there's only 2.5 tribes that they can find. Half of Levi, Judah, and Benjamin. And so the other thing that he wants to send is that this group is going to be one. Israel's going to be gathered. They're going to be one. There's going to be some rich members in the 12, the tax collectors, right? There's going to be some poor members, the fishermen. There's going to be some from the northern tribes. There's going to be some from the southern tribes. I didn't do a ton of work on this, but Judas Iscariot, I think, in my best memory, is the only one from the southern tribes. So again, we see the importance of Judas staying with that group rather than leaving it as he chose. And then finally, of course, you had both tax collectors who represented the establishment. Obviously, they were working with Rome, right? They were collecting the taxes for them. And you also had Simon the Zealot, who was a group we've talked about completely opposed to Roman rule and wanted to overthrow it. You know, if you've ever, you know, worked in a group that maybe at a business or at your job and they just can't get along, here's a recipe for this happening, right, in the 12 disciples that Jesus chose. So he gathers Israel in all of these ways and he makes them become one. And that leads to phase three of the gathering, and that is his ministry, which are the miracles. And, you know, as he chooses them and as he sends them out to work miracles, just like he does, by the way, this is from Matthew chapter 10. Listen to this message that he sends. Matthew 10, 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And so we see Jesus stays focused on this mission to go to Israel first, that they are the focus of what he's doing here. And he must use them to accomplish this mission. The gatherings first, and then we're going to move on to other things here in a minute. You guys know another scripture that I've talked a ton about over the years, but not in this way. This is Matthew 15, 24 and 26. And that's where Jesus visits this Canaanite woman, so a Gentile. And she comes up to him and says, "My daughter is dying. Will you help?" You know, and he says, "I can't take I've come first for the lost sheep of the house of Israel," is first what he says. She keeps pressing him. And then he says, "I can't take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." You guys remember I talked a lot about that. Another way to translate that is by a guy named Gerhard Lofink. Is he says, another way to translate that second one is, the children must be fed first. So it's not that the Gentiles are something that Jesus doesn't care about at all, even though it sounds that way. It's that Israel, he's got to work through Israel. That's how God has designed it. It's how the prophets have prophesied of it. And so that's what he means by the children must be fed first. Now he does go on and heal her daughter anyway because of her great faith. And he is astonished by that faith, but he stays focused on this path of his mission as Israel as his servant and attending to them to accomplish the plan of salvation. You know, in God's reign, sickness can no longer exist. So one of the things that happens as Jesus establishes his reign in his ministry, we get a glimpse of what it will be someday, in which all suffering and death and tears go away. And so many people are healed as they come in contact with Jesus, the Messiah. And so the miracles are a part of the breaking in of the reign of God, but it's tied to the people. He does this through the people. He is healing Israel and some Gentiles too. And so that's how they're playing this role to be a light to the nations, right? The second part, because these Gentiles see this happening and are amazed. Came across a story of told by Tom Long, who's another preacher that I've mentioned some. And he says that this minister friend of his got to go to Scotland, and he went into a Scottish cathedral. And he was all alone, and he just wanted to feel like what it would be to go up on to the pulpit of this huge cathedral because he was from a small church. And I guess there's a famous saying that a lot of these Scottish cathedrals will have right underneath the pulpit that only the pastor, the minister, can see. And it says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I guess that's often placed on a plaque right there. And so he said, "I want to go up in there. I want to climb up into that pulpit," because usually there's stairs that lead up to it. And then I want to see that plaque there and then look out and just pretend like what it would be like to preach to some cathedral like that. And so he does that. And as he climbs up into the pulpit, he looks for that sign, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And instead, he sees, "Remember Edna Bailey." And he says it, at first he was disappointed, and then as he reflected upon it, he realized that oftentimes it's Jesus working powerfully in the lives of people, common people, Edna Baileys, right, that we most powerfully see his light and his work. And so just like Jesus is healing through Israel, Israel is kind of like Edna Bailey. In this metaphor, he's working, Jesus is working through them to show that light, and to be an example for others to want to come and be a part of this mission of salvation. The second role of Israel as the servant is to be a light to the nations, aka the Gentiles, for salvation to come to the ends of the earth, it says in our Old Testament today. And so Jesus doesn't exclude the salvation of the Gentiles. Again, it's just through the light that Israel, the light of Israel, that these Gentiles are drawn towards him. And that those miracles are that part of that light. Hear this in this book by Gerhard Lofink. I really like this, how he said it. He said, "Gentiles, fascinated by the salvation visible in Israel, are driven of their own accord to the people of God." I really like that a lot. Israel is the one who draws, and the people, the Gentiles, are fascinated by what Jesus is doing through them and to receive their grace. Listen to this one as well. This is Matthew 8, verse 11. "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And so Gentiles are part of that many. That's the nations. Many will come from the east and from the west. This is all God's doing, of course, but he must do it through Israel. So we might say, I like to word it this way, God woos us through the love that he shows to his chosen people, Israel. You guys remember Paul gives this metaphor of grafting, right? And I'm not a huge, I don't have a huge green thumb or anything. But when I was a kid, there was a branch that broke off of my favorite tree. It was a very thin branch. It was probably about like that. And about an inch in diameter or less, 3/4. And so I took some duct tape and some rope, and I climbed my favorite tree, and I put that branch back on where it was supposed to be, and I wrapped the duct tape around it and some rope, and I left it. And I left it for years. I mean, I don't know how many, maybe 2 or 3 years. And finally I realized, well, it's probably time to take that off. And so I climbed back up and took that off, and lo and behold, that had grown together. And so, you know, Israel is the tree. Jesus came for them, the tree of salvation, if you want to call it that. That's Israel. And a branch of that has broken off, right? Been broken off. And in place of it, we, this is Paul's metaphor, the wild branch, the one that's laying on the ground, right, has been grafted on and become a part of that tree of salvation. There's a lot of miracles at work, of course. God is choosing Israel. He's gathering them. There's tons of miracles throughout all of that. And then finally, he's using them as a light to draw us to them as well and grafting us on for a final miracle. Amen. Yeah.